Thank you, Elliot. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless us now as we look to your word. We're hungry and we need food. And we know that you're a good shepherd, the perfect shepherd. And we, even though we know that you know what we need before we ask, we still ask. Feed us, Lord, please. Speak to us through me, through this message. Even guard me from error, Lord, and help me to preach powerfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. By the way, that last song we sang, come and worship, worship the newborn king. If Jesus is not God, that is blasphemy. Worship a baby? God is God. Right? The reason why it's okay that all the people that came into his presence bowed down and worshiped him, brought him gold. Because he's the king. He is God. It is perfectly acceptable to worship Jesus. In fact, recommended. In fact, commanded. Bow down. So listen, it's a very simple point. They worship the baby Jesus. It says something. It proves something about who he is. It's great when hymns do that. Well, we're in chapter 12. Today will be verses 22 through 34. We've been, for our visitors, we've been going through this for a while, the Gospel of Luke. And last time we read verses 1 through 21. And it was very simple what he said, even though it's difficult. He said, if you follow me, stay away from hypocrisy. The religious people around are hypocrites. They have a form of godliness, but they're actually not godly. Don't take part in the leaven of the Pharisees, Jesus said. A little bit, you think it's just a little, it'll work its way all the way through everything, just like leaven does. Stay away from it. And then he says, nothing is covered up that won't be revealed. They think that they're smart, but they're not. God knows the heart, the inclinations and the thoughts of the heart, and he knows what's up. Then he says, and don't fear them either. Stay away from their hypocrisy and don't fear them. Yes, they can kill you. But they don't have the power and authority to throw you into hell. God has that power. You know who you should fear? Fear God. So Jesus says, don't take part in the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and don't fear them. Don't fear them so much that you would rather do what they want instead of what God wants. You've got to choose which one is more formidable, the man or God. We're humans and we struggle with this idea because we want approval from others. And we fear negative consequences. And really, to fear God over man, you do have to have faith. You have to believe in the God that you can't see and the future that has not yet come, that if you don't fear God, worse consequences are going to come. That takes faith, doesn't it? Most of the world doesn't believe such a thing. Okay. Don't take part in hypocrisy. Don't fear them. Fear God, don't worry. He takes care of sparrows. Have you ever seen sparrows before? There's millions and millions of them. Billions, even. God takes care of them. The sparrows, listen, they're not particularly smart as it relates to birds. He doesn't forget about them. Have you ever had a pet that you forgot to feed? Have you? I have. and felt terrible later. Oh no, we never fed the dog. Have you done it before? God doesn't forget to feed his pets. He doesn't forget to feed people either. He knows how to take care of us. The question is, do you trust him? Do you believe that he won't forget about you? In fact, you never leave his thoughts. You think, well, how could that be? Surely his mind is here and there and here and there. It is. It is that also. God can think about everything. There's no moral dilemma in the mind of God. Who should I help? I can't help them all at once. I have to choose. This farmer's praying for rain. This one's saying no rain. There's no dilemma. He knows the right course of action at all times, every time. And he knows how to take care of us. Don't fear God. Or don't fear man. Fear God and acknowledge Jesus. And there's nothing to worry about. Even if the worst thing ever were to happen to you. You've seen this where they show, okay, this line is eternity. This line is eternity, which you can't draw on a line, right? But if it were, and this point right here is your life, doesn't make that much sense to spend all of your time focusing on this one little part that's going to disappear quickly. When Jesus has promised this amount of time for the people who follow him and love him, how really you could carry this line out for infinity, right? A never-ending timeline. That short little part that's now, it's over before you know. Ask any older saints, and what they'll say is, it flew by. So, don't fear man. Fear God, acknowledge Jesus, be forgiven, and bask in the glory for eternal life. And then we were reminded of something that's going to come up again today, against laying up treasure for ourselves and not being rich towards God. And Jesus said it in a parable. There was a man who had fields and they were very fruitful, and he had so much crops he couldn't store them all. And rather than give the rest away, because he had so much, why not just give the rest away? He said to himself, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and then I can hold it all, and I'll relax and eat and drink and be merry. It'll all be perfect. And Jesus says, that thought is a foolish thought. You'll die today, and what will happen to your big barns? He said, you should be rich towards God. And the point is, and listen, in the United States, we struggle with this. All people struggle with this, but we do, because we have everything we need, mostly. It's dangerous. Wealth can lead to self-glory, can it? Covetousness. And listen, the result of that will be separation from God. Do not covet. We are taught. Give God the glory. All right, well, let's read today's text. Please stand while we read the Word of God. Luke 12, beginning verse 22 through verse 34. And he said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Chris, can you help me? I turned these lights off earlier because I thought they were off, and I pushed the button in that panel right behind you. The ones that are circles, if you just push them in. Sorry about that. I realized I was in the shadow over here. Just push them in. Yeah. And then go to the next one. Mm-hmm. There's some down below, too. Yep. Thank you very much. Verse 22. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor your body, nor what you'll put on. And here's the question. Do humans have a problem with anxiousness? Worry. Or as the King James says, like too much carefulness. Thinking about it too much. Caring. Do they have a problem? Apparently so. There's a limited number of words that we have recorded from Jesus while he walked the earth, and this is one of them. And actually, this whole chapter really is about worry and anxiousness, isn't it? Don't worry about your life, food and drink, your body, clothes. And yet, it's a thing, isn't it? Ladies, you all look lovely today. And I'm especially glad that you're clean and you combed your hair. And you look lovely. And it is a concern for ladies, isn't it? What you're going to wear, what you're going to buy, how can I get it? It is for men, too. We just hide it better. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? Jesus says, don't worry about that. It's not important. Verse 24. Consider the ravens. His point is, birds don't think ahead. They don't think ahead. They don't plant seed in the field so that they'll have food next year. Right? They don't sow. Lydia, not this kind of sewing with a needle and thread. They don't sow. They sow, S-O-W. It means to put seeds in the ground, to plant a crop. Birds don't sow, or reap, or gather. Not like people. And Jesus said, but God feeds them. Well, this is interesting. Animals, I've said this before, they don't know where their next meal is coming from. You know where your next meal is coming from. You went to the grocery store. You maybe have put meat out already so that it'll be thawed by the time you're ready to cook it. Not so sparrows and ravens. They don't know. They just fly around and God provides for them. And the point is, it's a lesser to greater argument. If God does this for birds, that are not even mindful of how things are happening for them. They just gobble it up when it's there. What about you? He sent his son for you, to bring peace to you. Do you think that God would do all of that and then on the very simple things just forget completely, like we might do? Not so. We're worth more to God than animals. Verse 25, another lesser to greater argument. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you're not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? 1 hour. Can you add 1 hour? You can't. It's understood in the argument. No one can. Okay, but that's a very simple, a very small thing. If you add up the number of hours that are contained in your life, and then at the end, if the number of hours was 472,000 hours, and you, somehow you can make it 472,001, doesn't seem like that big of a deal for 1 hour. But we're unable to do such a thing. Jesus says, if that's the case, stop worrying about these humongous things that you definitely cannot work out yourself. By worrying, can you add an hour? You could probably take away some hours by worrying. Either wasted hours, because God says, don't worry, I got this. You're worrying yourself needlessly. Or from stress of worry, people have heart attacks and die. Don't worry. And this doesn't mean don't be concerned about anything. Just sit around, be lazy. That's not the point. The point is, you know that God's got it. You lose your job. You're like, man, I really like that job. I'll never find another job like that. I liked my coworkers. They were Christians. The salary was good. Great insurance. I'll never find another job like that. And people stress and stress and stress. And guess what happens? They find another job. And God takes care of them. And the time in between was needless worrying. And even, listen, wicked worrying. You tell me, is worry a sin? If Jesus says, don't do it, and you do it, is that a sin? And the answer is, yes, it is. Jesus said, don't do it. Everyone worries. We do. Verse 27. You want to talk about clothes? Flowers will bloom for one day and then die in the evening. And they're more beautiful than Solomon, who was a very, very, very wealthy man. If God would take that care, clothe the flower like that, that's just going to rise up and fade away, wither away quickly. What about you, who he made in his own image? Do you have faith? Do you believe God or not? Because if you do, then don't worry. Don't worry about clothes. Verse 28. If God clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do you see what Jesus is implying? When you're worried about these kind of things, it doesn't reflect well on your faith. It doesn't. It doesn't show a person full of faith. What it shows is doubt. I don't know how it's going to work out. Everyone has doubts. Listen, if you say you don't, you're lying. Everyone has doubts, but we should try not to doubt, right? We should gird ourselves up with the Word of God, the promises of Jesus that are yes for us. They're all yes. If you believe in Jesus, every good thing that He's ever promised ever is yours. Isn't that enough to strengthen us and say, I want to doubt, but I'm not going to. I'm going to trust my God. He provides even for birds. He's going to provide for me. Of course He will. And by the way, this applies to every aspect, doesn't it? If you're a student, you're a graduate student, you have tests, you have hard professors, you have papers, you have deadlines, don't worry. And don't wait until the last minute and then worry all night because you don't have enough time. Plan ahead. You're not like a bird that doesn't know where its next meal is coming from. They've already told you the deadline. Study a little bit every day. Believe me, this was not my habit. But I'm telling you, you will have less worry. You'll have less worry. Some people want spouses and don't have spouses and worry, oh, how will I ever find the right person? God knows. I'm not saying don't go where young women or young men congregate so you can find one. I'm not telling you don't do that. I'm saying don't worry about it while you do that. Does that make sense? Some people say, well, if God wants you to have a husband or a wife, He'll bring you one, and they're in a church with 15 people and they're all 60 years old. Well, how am I going to find one? There's no one here. Find one. Great, but don't worry. God knows what He's doing. Isn't your life planned out? Do you think that this period of time isn't? And when you finally get to the right place, okay, now God's perfect plan for me has started. We know that's false. Verse 29. Do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things. And the point is, In another parallel passage, he says, this is what the Gentiles do. The wicked. That's what they do. They seek after worldly things, and they don't think about the knowledge and the providence of God that is on every side. Your whole life has been in the tender care of God. And you say, well, but bad things happen to me. Listen, you're not innocent. There's sin covering you from head to toe. Bad things are bound to happen to sinners, but you're still in the care of God. Don't be like the nations, the Gentiles, the unbelievers that have no thought about the providence of God and worry and worry and worry. Very skeptical about everything. Verse 31, instead, so we have the answer. He's told us from a bunch of verses here what not to do. Verse 31, instead of that, instead of worrying, seek His kingdom. And these things will be added to you. What things? The needful things. The food, the clothes, the drink. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I was reading a list of billionaires recently. I have no idea why. It was a clickbait article, and I clicked it. And it was talking about people that were under 30 years old but were billionaires. And most of them were heirs of, like, one of the ladies' name, she was a Rockefeller. $6 billion. almost every one of them was the heir of some rich person. And they had been very successful themselves, but some just had lots of money because their grandpa gave it to them. When those kids are growing up, do you think that they worry about how much money they're going to have, knowing who their daddy is or who their grandpa is, that they can go anywhere at any time and do whatever they want? That can be dangerous. But if you seek the kingdom of God, Jesus said, it's the Father's will to give us the kingdom. We are heirs of the kingdom, not heirs of a railroad company, not heirs of a perfume or a fashion company, not heirs of a giant oil company, heirs of the kingdom of God. How much is it worth? And if you know that that's coming, what's the big deal? What's the big deal right now? Just wait. It's all there. It's all there. I heard a story one time about people going to a shopping spree. Do you remember when they used to do that? 10 minutes, grab as much as you can grab and put it in your cart. Then they would add it up and figure out who had gotten the most expensive items. One guy didn't rush in, and they asked him, why aren't you rushing in? He said, my dad owns the mall. Your God owns everything, right? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Not just this hill, all the hills. And some country people say, and the taters under them hills. He owns those too. Everything. And if you're the heir, if you're the heir of someone who owns everything, what's the big deal? Why are you worried? Give that car that you hardly use. Give it away. Let somebody use it. Don't buy a new phone. You don't need one. It's just tech. You don't need one. Instead of spending the $1,000, give it to somebody. Unless you say, Bill, come on, now you're starting to get into our pocketbooks. This is not my idea. This isn't my idea. Verse 33, sell your possessions, give to the needy. This is from the mouth of Jesus. Little flock, 32, the Father's will is to give us the kingdom. Trust Him. Don't worry. You have the kingdom ahead. No matter what happens ever while you're alive at this point, there's no reason to fear and doubt, only to say, I can't wait for the kingdom. It's glorious. Jesus prepared a room for me there. Remember? Jesus said, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you that. I'm going to prepare a place. You know how to get there. It's very interesting. They're like, we don't even know where you're going. How could we possibly know how to get there? Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think this passage is very familiar to most of y'all, right? Very familiar. But verse 32 through 34, fear not. It's your Father's will to give us the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy. Do you remember when Paul was showing himself to the Jerusalem folks and they had heard terrible things about him and they wanted to meet him after a period of time, and he said, I'm going to the Gentiles. I know where I'm heading. God's told me. And they said, what? Do you remember what they told him? They said, okay, but remember the poor And he said, this is the very thing I'm eager to do. I will not forget the poor. Have we forgot the poor? And I don't think they were talking about the poor in spirit. Paul was already preaching the gospel to them. That's for those poor in spirit. Actually poor. Did we remember the poor? Have we gotten off track on that? And by the way, I'm not talking about politics. I'm not a Democrat and don't support many of their things. But whoever says that we should help the needy, I agree. Because it's not their idea. Jesus said it. And he didn't come up with it either. Do you remember what Jesus said? I'm not telling y'all my own ideas. Everything I'm telling you, the Father told me to say it. Sell your possessions. Give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that don't grow old, with treasure in the heavens that doesn't fail, where no thief approaches. It's an interesting idea. You've got all your gold over there. Here comes the thief. No moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Where is it? A few weeks ago, I taught on a passage that was about similar subject, giving, being generous. And I, after preaching that, I was convicted to myself, or in my own heart. We help people as we can, and we try to, but we often do it out of our wealth. Do you understand what I mean? When we have extra money. But Jesus told them that's not the best form. Do you remember what he said? The woman who gave the last bit she had. She gave all she had. Jesus said they all came and threw lots of money in out of their wealth. And the real faith, she came and gave all she had. And let me challenge you, and I'll challenge myself and my wife and my family too. The better way to give is to not give out of your wealth, but to sacrifice, to not buy the thing, to not get that thing so that you can bless others. This is not my idea. Jesus taught it. It's better to sacrifice in order to give, to love others. Now, I'm not saying that if you're really wealthy, you shouldn't give a lot. Go ahead. That'd be great. But do you understand what I'm getting at? It's a heart issue. That I love those people and want to help them more than I love myself. So I'm not going to get this thing that's going to make myself really happy, and I'm going to give it to them instead. And when you do that, you will be storing and having money bags that are in heaven. No thief approaches. Don't worry. Pray, give thanks. Be at peace with God. 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. So there will be occasions where you'll be anxious. Cast it over to Jesus immediately. Immediately. Hebrews chapter 13, keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So can we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, we could go on. But let me give you just a couple reminders and then we'll be done. At this church, we believe that God is the sovereign King of Kings, don't we? And we didn't come up with that idea. We believe it because we believe it to be biblical. God is sovereign and all his holy will is accomplished. Isaiah chapter 14, the Lord of hosts has sworn, quote, as I have planned, so shall it be. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Like, well, but no, if we don't cooperate, maybe it won't work out. Nay, what he decides to do, he does. And if you're in the way, he'll push you out of the way and do it because he accomplishes all his holy will. But that's just a way of speaking. He'll change your heart and make you'll want to do it. All things are purposed by the Almighty. Proverbs 16:4, Jehovah has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. That's a challenging verse, isn't it? But you can't read it and then conclude, no, he hasn't purposed everything. He has, even dark things. The king's hearts are subject to God's will. Proverbs 16:1, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from Jehovah. Even in the person, they think they're going to do something, and when the time comes, they do something different. Because God worked. And even seemingly random things are controlled by God, such as the casting of lots, or in this passage, 2 Chronicles 18, quote, but a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. Can you picture a massive group of people? Lydia got a bow recently. Can you? Sometimes you just put an arrow in there and just shoot it, right? Not aiming at anything. This text says, he shot it at random. And it hit right in the exact spot that it needed to hit. Well, if that's the case, if God's sovereign and he's in control and he accomplishes what he purposes, can't we strengthen ourselves with this knowledge? He loves us. He sent Jesus to die for us. He sent teachers and apostles and all sorts of various things for the benefit of the church, to lift us up, to encourage us. He's praying for us. He encourages us to pray. We're taught that the Holy Spirit prays for us even when we don't even know how to pray. The Spirit says, I know how to pray. I know what you need, and I'm going to pray it right now. If we have all that stuff, all this benefit, all this advantages, would we be like the world? Just hoard everything and worry and worry and worry? That's what the wicked do. Well, listen, here's the good thing. If you were hearing me and thinking, I do those things, I do those things, I do those things. On the positive side, good. Praise God. He's at work in you. And if you haven't been doing them, listen, this is also easy. You can start. You can start. You can change. With God, we say God doesn't change, right? Because he's not in error about anything. Why would he change? But we need to change, right? Repentance, change your mind. All right, let's close. Thank you, Father, that you've sent Jesus, and he's so sweet and so loving and merciful and humble and kind. And we know we don't deserve such a gift. We know that. And Father, would you help us now, having been instructed by the Word of God, would you help us not to worry, Would you help us not to be preoccupied with clothes and food and the accumulation of possessions and wealth? Would you help us to not be foolish? Would you help us to be mindful that our inheritance is the kingdom? Would you help us, Lord, even as we give gifts to each other this Christmas, that we would understand that we're attempting to show that we love them like God, you showed us by sending us the best gift, Jesus. Would you help us to remember the reason for the season and even, Father, to be generous? We thank you that we've been here and we've had peace in the building, and we pray that as we go to our homes and for the holidays that we would have peace in our homes, that we would rest, and that we would refocus on the work of being a Christian. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.